From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to The Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
All right, everybody, it's the Brian and Vinny Show, November 11, 2014, Veterans Day, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com, and boy, how strange is it here tonight? It is a legit Brian and Vinny Show.
Craig bailed.
We have no guest host tonight.
Yeah.
Craig is taken ill. We can all pray he does not have Ebola.
I was going to say bird flu.
It's got a lot of...
Or SARS. What about SARS? Is that still around?
Actually, the other day, I hadn't seen Wang in a whole week at jiu-jitsu. And he gets like this sometimes, but shows up last Monday, and I was like, oh, Wang, you're here. And he goes, yeah, I was sick. I was like, all right, great. So we all get on the mat and start doing class, and he's in there rolling around with everybody, and every now and then he kind of coughs a little bit, and I'm like, Wang, are you sure you're all right? And he goes, yeah, I went to the doctor. They just called me today, said I had coronavirus.
Coronavirus.
I was like, coronavirus? Coronavirus is something that cats get.
Uh-huh.
You know, my Snorky has coronavirus.
Oh.
And Gracie had coronavirus, and if a cat has coronavirus, there's a small chance it will develop FIP.
Oh, that's not best bad.
Which is what killed Gracie.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you got coronavirus? How the fuck does a human get coronavirus? So apparently, and I read about this when I got home, there has been a rash of people getting coronavirus. And so anyway, I said, Wang, are you sure you should be training? Like, what did the doctor say? He goes, the doctor didn't say anything. I said, so you didn't get like cleared to return here? You don't know if you're contagious with this coronavirus or not? And he goes, no, should I go home? It's like, Jesus, dude. So I don't think anyone else has gotten coronavirus. He'd already rolled around with everybody, but hopefully Craig does not have coronavirus. Are you Googling it right now?
Actually, I was Googling coronas to make sure that it wasn't, in fact, a Mexican beer.
Well, it is a Mexican beer.
That's what
as
I was
well.
Thinking of. Which sounds like, hey, as viruses go, sit around and drink Corona all day?
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, no Craig here tonight, everybody. No guest host. We do have one more guest host upcoming, probably in about a week or so, and then that will be it for the time being. I think that our two guest hosts, Sammy and Mike, I think they've done a very good job. And some people on the board, of course, whenever you have a guest host, some people are like, please don't ever do this again. And other people are like, hey, it's great. And in fact, a lot of people have suggested maybe once a year, Whitney can do a fundraising drive and we'll auction off a couple of guest host spots because so far so good on them. That both guys have done a great job.
That is true. That is true.
We'll see how it goes, everybody. But we got one more upcoming and we'll talk about that in due time. But tonight we've got Raw and we've got, I've already forgotten what else.
Nitro,
number 11.
And for some reason,
British Boot Camp.
You may be watching an episode of British Boot Camp, which I shouldn't complain. It's one of the better shows we watched this week.
I was going to say.
But I had already watched Nitro and Raw, and I was very tired of wrestling, and I had to watch this show.
Oh, Vinny. It's only 45 minutes. And believe me, when I was in the middle of watching it, we'll save it for the main event. But I will just say that they had some footage from the first two episodes. Guys that had not made it, I so badly wanted to see those two episodes. What a bunch of dingbats. A wrestling Jesus?
Yes, there was that guy. I like, we'll get to it. There's a specific quote. Gail Kim to one, it was basically all promos. And one guy's in there trying to cut a wrestling promo. And Gail's line was something like, I can't hear you, and that annoys me.
Yes. Yes. We'll talk all about British boot camp here in a while. Let's get going on the least interesting show every week for the last month or so.
Oh, a lot more longer than that.
You know what's funny? I don't even know why, but somebody in the company warned me over 1 month ago. They said, prepare for about 6 weeks of terrible television. And you know what's funny about it is, first off, this person was right.
Yeah.
Second off, it's not like they taped 6 weeks in advance.
Yeah. What the hell do they know?
I don't know. The show is
often rewritten right before it goes in the air.
It's incredible to me, but they called it exactly how it's been.
All right, well, let's get started. It was actually, when I looked back on this, it's one of the better episodes of Raw they've had in the past month or two.
It was good storytelling, but it was poor crowd reactions.
That's true. That's certainly true.
You know, I want to say one thing about the crowd reaction, because last night Dave said they turned the crowd audio down, and I heard from somebody else in WWE that believes that they turned the crowd audio down, so I think that is what happened, but I did also hear from one person who was there who said, I don't know what they're talking about, because the crowd wasn't very active live, and I should note that SmackDown, the SmackDown taping that they did, the crowd was, one person said, I have not seen a crowd this dead in many, many, many years.
Huh.
And are you aware of what happened with Vince McMahon?
I heard he came out and cut a promo on the fans.
He, in fact, did come out and cut a promo on the fans. Let's listen to it here. Some very excited fans, by the way.
That's it. That's it. That's all I get. Let's hear it for Vince McMahon. What's the matter with you people? Sitting on your heads out here, you're not having a good time, you're not cheering, you're not booing, and why? They cheer louder in Sheffield, they cheer louder in Manchester, they cheer louder all over the UK, except here in Liverpool. Guy in the front row over here looking at Jericho. Guy next to him. I'm from Liverpool. I'm from Liverpool, too. Come on, what's the matter with you? Have some fun here tonight. Liverpool. What kind of name? What kind of name is Liverpool? Sound of Liverpool sounds like an old man's skin disease, doesn't it? Liverpool. Kind of like Ebola just kind of crawls up on you. Come on, have some fun here tonight, damn it!
Then he just stomped to the back. Come on, have some fun, everybody. Damn it. That was amazing.
That was better than anything on Raw.
Losing his mind. Come on, everybody, have some fun, damn it.
Probably cannot be with my product, it must be with the audience.
It must be with you idiots. Yes. You fucking fans,
damn,
it's your fault.
Defective Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
All right. So Cena came out for a promo. Raw was also in Liverpool. They pretty much hated Cena universally. There did seem to be some heavy crowd editing to kind of at least make them react to positively to some things and negatively to other things. So Cena talked about guys the Authority had taken out, including Randy Orton and Zack Ryder, because Zack Ryder was going to lead his team to victory. He then announced very casually that Jack Swagger had joined his team. Now,
what a reaction.
Well, first of all, yes, there was no reaction, but more to the point, and I guess it doesn't matter because he's not on the team anyway, but the theme of the show, I've forgotten, maybe the show was not as good as I remembered it. What a burial. The announcement of this guy being on the team is John Cena says, he's on my team. They didn't play his music, he didn't come out for cheers, there was no big tease, no big dramatic build, he just said, Jack Swagger's on my team.
Mm-hmm.
I took this to mean that, and actually it's turned out to be true, this was Cena's way of telling everyone, Jack Swagger will be the first man eliminated from my team. And that was a fact.
It was so funny when he comes out, too. He's going to announce the name Jack Swagger, mm-hmm. And I think that John Cena knew that if he announced it in like a really excited way, it was not going to get any reaction whatsoever. And so his delivery was something to the effect of, first on my team, Jack Swagger. That's like exactly how he said it.
Yeah.
And nobody cared.
No. So he added Dolph Ziggler was on his team too. Talked about fighting Ryback tonight in the main event. Called out Ryback to see whose side he'd be on. And then Hunter and his crew came out and they made a sales pitch to Ryback. Hunter began to bury talent left and right, laughing out loud at the idea of Jack Swagger as a threat. Why?
He was right. Quite frankly.
Why would you ever tell your audience that anyone on your roster is anything other than a must-see attraction? I mean,
well,
it's true.
Well, that's Hunter's gimmick. His gimmick is he's better than everyone else. And that's the end of that.
Actually, I disagree. His gimmick is not that he's better than everyone else. His gimmick is that everyone else sucks. Telling you, the fans, that the wrestler you are watching sucks, and therefore you, the fan, should turn the channel. He's been doing it for 20 years. So that annoyed me. He dubbed Dolph the tiny little guy who wouldn't make it to Survivor Series. I know he's shorter than Hunter, but I've never, ever once thought Dolph Ziggler was a tiny little guy.
I don't know about a tiny little guy, but he is on the smaller side.
I suppose. So they brought up Daniel Bryan for a while, and finally Steph tried to recruit Ryback. So you get more main events if you help the Authority win. This went on for a long time. And finally Ryback said he was not scared of the Authority, but Cena did not sign his paychecks, and he dropped Cena with a spinebuster and left. It was your slightly above average, very long Raw opening promo. It had a point, at least.
I believe there's a feeling that they're going to give Ziggler something. Just like with Daniel Bryan, when Daniel Bryan ended up winning the championship at WrestleMania. You know, they knew that he was going to get the belt at Mania, and so in their mind, may as well just bury this guy left and right leading to it, because we're going to give something to him at the end. Now, I wouldn't do that, because I think that's fucking stupid. But that seems to be their mindset. Well, they're going to give Ziggler, I'm sure he's going to pin somebody, maybe he's going to pin Kane at Survivor Series, I don't know. But because he's going to get that big win, may as well bury him on the way there to get some heat.
That's stupid.
I know. I'm just telling you, that's they've been doing it for years.
It makes for poor television.
Yes, but they've been doing it for years. Well, I'm just explaining it to you, I'm not justifying it.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make me feel any better or like it more. So then Jack Swagger, who'd just been buried deep beneath the earth, came out for a match with Seth Rollins, and I don't mean to shock you, but nobody cared.
No.
It's partly because they specifically and deliberately buried Swagger before this, and partly because wrestling fans in 2014 have been trained to react to catchphrases and finishers, and that's it. Because they didn't care about any of the actual wrestling they did. They didn't care who won. They didn't care who lost. They didn't care who was making a comeback. They didn't care who was getting the heat. All they cared about was chanting, "We the people," and when Swagger went for the ankle lock, they went crazy. And that was it.
Lance has mentioned this many times. If you watch all of these matches, it used to be that a match would tell a story leading to the finish. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it's just go out there and do some stuff.
Take turns doing moves.
And nothing matters one bit until that babyface starts his comeback.
Yeah, you're correct.
Like, maybe you randomly work on a guy's chin, or maybe you put him in some sort of goofy hold that has nothing to do with your finish or the actual finish of the match.
No.
It's just something to do.
Yeah.
And I think that that's why... Like, when I watch Nitro or when I watch any of these other wrestling shows, I pay attention. And I watch WWE, and it's so hard lately to not zone out during the matches because I know nothing matters until they start doing their near falls. Mm-hmm. I may as well just fast forward through the entire match until the near falls start.
Yeah.
That's bad.
It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. So, after about an hour of this match, Seth won clean with a curb stomp. And then they hit him with another one afterwards. And I guess two curb stomps is enough to kill a man he was never seen again.
Never seen. He's done.
Yeah. Out of Survivor Series. Two curb stomps. On the mat, mind you. Dean Ambrose cut a promo backstage basically saying he was going to hell and he was taking Bray Wyatt with him. They had a series of skits where Ryback was backstage warming up for 2 hours. 3 hours.
You know what?
3 hours.
You really got to pump up them muscles.
I guess so. And all the other guys on Team Authority would come in and say something to piss him off. And Kane came out and said he wanted to be in Ryback's corner. And Ryback said to stay out of his way, and they kind of laughed at each other tensely, and then Kane left.
I love that the storyline is that all of the heels have zero social skills.
Yeah.
That's what the storyline is.
Yes.
It's not like Ryback has social skills, and even he realizes these guys are all dicks.
Did you see the...
Now, everyone keeps telling me to watch it, but I haven't seen it yet.
It's pretty funny.
Is it good?
It's good, yes.
Is it good audio?
Yeah, it's all audio.
All right, well, I'm going to play it right now because somebody has...
The Ryback-Curtis Axel meeting.
Yes. Yeah. You go ahead, I'll get this queued up.
Paige wrestled Alicia. Crowd loved Paige. They sang songs for her. She's English. They're English. So it worked out well. Had a short match, but shockingly, she actually won clean with the Rampage, and everyone was happy, and that was that.
Looked like she just killed this poor girl.
Yep. So Stephanie was backstage demanding an answer from Lana and Rusev if they would team, or if they would be on Team Authority. She said there were no politics in WWE.
And that's what she said.
Yeah.
It's funny because people on Twitter were outraged when she said this, and I was like, that was the point. That was the point of the line, to make you mad.
Yeah. And then she buried Lana as he stuck up Russian twit, because all talent must be buried at all times. Lana relented, and by the end of the segment, I had no idea if Rusev was on their team or not.
Well, you weren't supposed to know at this point.
I was just, but what was the point of it?
I don't know.
So, yeah, this is stupid. Here, the New Day promo video again. At least this time, nobody buried it. Hunter and Steph had a time-wasting meeting about how if they lost at Survivor Series, they would be okay as long as they still had each other.
How sweet.
So I guess the pay-per-view main event doesn't matter. I don't need to watch it.
Then. And then they had a disgusting kiss.
Yeah.
All right, here is the Ryback deal with his former buddy, Curtis Axel.
Hey, Axeman.
Big guy?
You know it. I thought I lost you in Mexico, man. Where have you been? The tequila, the chicas bonitas? I thought you were gone for good.
I missed my flight, big guy. I just got back this week.
Well, I hope you're not too angry. While you were gone, I kind of took it upon myself to get hungry again and go on the singles career.
What?
Yeah.
I was wondering where you went. Yeah.
I was out injured for a little bit, too, before our trip to Mexico, but I read a few books on politics, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll let you borrow them sometime.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, maybe not. You're doing all right, huh?
No.
What's going on? What happened tonight?
Did you not see?
I don't really watch much.
I lost that unmanly freak with his rosebuds and the stupid bunny, Adam Rose. You kidding me, man?
I'm sure he did.
Joke, dude.
I'm sure he cheated, right? He used probably the bunny in that.
Yeah, he did.
The Rosebud Express deal.
Yes, that's exactly.
Probably one of the girls over there.
Yes.
You know?
The big dinks.
Yeah, he can't beat Adam Rose or Curtis Axel, right? He can't beat you clean. Look, it's okay. You win some, you lose some, right?
Listen, I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Whatever you've been doing, that's great. Now it's time for the Axeman to get on a roll here. So I've been giving it some thought. We've been talking, and maybe it is best that we go our own separate ways, okay?
If that's what you think.
Yeah, man. So I'm going to tell you something.
Cool. All right.
I'll see you down the road, okay?
Sounds good. Wait. All the great tag teams get back together. The Barbarians.
Yeah.
Legion of Doom. The New Age Outlaws. Oh, you didn't know? DX. NWO. Barry Horowitz and Maven.
Yes.
Sasha and Earthquake.
That's not in the original.
It's making it better.
So movie. You know how we're going to get back together is right back, so. And loose.
They come out of the best line.
Right back, so. Right back, so.
No, that actually covered up the best line.
Oh, man.
Ryback says that at some point, I'm sure, one day, we'll get back together and lose.
I see. This was sent to me. It was The Adventures of Rybacksel. So apparently somebody edited in that music.
Yes, that was not part of the original broadcast.
Which actually made it much funnier. Man, why can't they put that kind of stuff on Raw?
I don't know. What doesn't that do more to make you care about Ryback and Curtis Axel than anything they ever did when they actually were a team?
Yeah, I actually cared about both guys.
Yeah. He came off as relatively I shouldn't say realistic, but there's depth to those characters now.
It's always funny because like people email me all the time and they go, "Did you see that thing on Main Event?" Or "Did you see that thing on WWE.com?" And then I watch it and I'm like, "That's pretty fucking cool." And meanwhile, it never airs on Raw.
No, ever.
Like, why did you not put this on Raw? This was good. Instead, I get these backstage segments with, I don't know what, eyeballs?
Yeah. So we then had a segment where a Bulgarian pretending to be a Russian came out in the United Kingdom to celebrate his win over an Irishman to win the United States Championship.
That is exactly what happened.
And I was actually disappointed when they pointed out the absurdity of all this on commentary, but that's what happened. So Lana talked a bit about how Russia had bailed out England in World War II, and then two dudes in suits said Putin was proud of them. They dropped the Russian flag, and they played the Russian anthem. Sheamus interrupted and ran down and kicked them out because, you see, Sheamus is a poor loser and a dick.
Let me bring something up here. So, to my knowledge, the Russian flag has now been pulled down by two Americans, very rudely. Well, the flag was pulled down once, and then Sheamus interrupted the dude's anthem.
Mm-hmm.
When is the last time that Rusev interrupted the U.S. national anthem? Never.
Been a long time.
He never has. Yeah. In fact, that one time when he super kicked the soldier, uh-huh, that dude jumped the rail.
Yeah.
Rusev was defending himself. It was his own fault.
Yes.
This is a very strange way to book a evil Russian heel.
Yes, it is.
He's the one who keeps doing the right thing.
Yes. So it led to Sheamus getting his rematch against Rusev. To be honest, it was a hell of a fight. Two big dudes wailing on each other, which is my favorite kind of wrestling. I liked when Sheamus tried to put the cloverleaf on and he couldn't get it because Rusev's legs were too damn big. And the finish absolutely sucked. They're brawling on the floor, and then Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury come out and attack Sheamus right in front of the referee. This is not a DQ for no reason I can think of, and Sheamus got counted out. So Sheamus was mad. And then Steph met with the heels backstage. Basically, she had done them a favor.
Well, at least it was a DQ that made sense.
Well, it made sense why they did it. It made no sense why was it not a DQ? It was a countout.
I see. I don't think the ref saw them preventing him from getting in the ring. It doesn't matter. The point is she hired her guys to help Rusev not lose.
Yes, and doing him a favor so he would join their team. Fine. So they agreed.
Yeah, they agreed after Stephanie just, I can't say emasculated. What would be the female version of that?
Humiliated.
Anyway, she just was such a bitch to Lana.
Uh-huh.
And then Lana's like, "Sure, we'll join your team." By the way, I had somebody from...
Yeah, they bury all the talent. The whole damn roster is just geeks.
I had somebody who I believe is from Bulgaria email me today. And the Bulgarians, this should come as no shock, are gigantic fans of Rusev. And apparently Mr. Rusev, he speaks Bulgarian regularly on this show.
All right.
And he's fucking hilarious.
That does not surprise me.
This
one
person
bit.
Wrote to me from Bulgaria to tell me that after Stephanie was acting so bitchy that when Rusev muttered something in Bulgarian to Lana, he essentially pointed out that this woman is a mental. And apparently he said it in such a deadpan manner that it was absolutely hilarious to Bulgarians. And apparently he says all sorts of funny things during his matches as well that only the Bulgarians get.
That is awesome.
And they love this
man.
That
is tremendous.
Yes.
We need the subtitles someday. Rusev to English translation.
I'm a huge fan of Rusev lately, and I love Lana. This is not news to anybody, but I need to reiterate it each time.
Mm-hmm. They recap the first segment when John Cena was trying to recruit Ryback. I dubbed it recruiting. Michael Cole used a different term. He said he was courting Ryback.
Oh, really?
That's what he said. You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Rollins gave Ryback a pep talk. Noted they had differences in the past. So that was all behind them. Said, "You don't need to take orders from Kane. You need to take orders from me." And finally, Ryback said he would destroy Cena and he wanted to make it clear, "Don't call me big man. I'm the big guy."
He said, "You don't take advice from Kane. That's ridiculous. He stole my line."
I thought your line was preposterous.
Well, that would have been better, but.
Yeah. Los Matadors versus Los Mizzes. Mizzes came out, was The Miz, Damian Mizdow, and Hornswoggle as Mini Miz. This is the best faction since like DX at their peak. Tremendous.
It's just beyond comedy now, though.
Yeah.
Like, there's no coming back for The Miz. I don't know. I don't know if he's self-aware enough to realize this or not.
Coming back? This is the best he's ever been.
Well, the point I'm making, Vinny, is I'm sure in his mind he thinks, someday I'm going to be in that WWE Championship title picture again. And if he's thinking that, I'm telling him right now, that ain't happening, buddy. You're Chavo Guerrero-ing yourself right here.
Okay. I have never enjoyed The Miz as much as I have the past 2-3 months.
I enjoy him, too. He's much better here than in the world title picture.
Yeah.
But it's killing
so
him.
So if this is keeping out of the world title picture, great.
I agree, but that's not the point.
I don't care if Miz is happy.
All right.
Miz gets to go home to Maurice. He'll be fine.
He will be fine.
So the best part of this act, Miz starts and does all the wrestling. Crowd hates Miz, loves Miz now. And who doesn't? So Miz cuts the baby face off and he points to the corner and the crowd goes, yay! And he holds out his hand and Miz holds out his hand and the crowd is just jumping up and down and happy. And then Miz pulls his hand back and just keeps on wrestling. Just the easiest heat in the world. It is so awesome. And my favorite part about it is Miz Dow's going along with it. He was no part of this. And it hit me just how good Miz Dow has it right now. He's the biggest star on the roster and his gimmick is he doesn't wrestle.
Yeah.
He does nothing, and everyone loves him.
Now,
he has got it made.
He does have it made, but maybe we were watching a completely different Raw. But I have no idea what crowd reactions you were talking about, except for people cheering Mizdow.
Yeah, that counts.
But the point is, nobody cared about Miz.
No.
So they weren't, like, booing him and upset. They only wanted to see Mizdow.
Right.
And the Matador got the quietest hot tag of all time. I challenge anybody to find me a hot tag that got less of a reaction than this one. It's impossible.
So, eventually there was a four-way, and Minnie started doing spots, and finally Miz pinned a Matador while Miz Dow hooked the foot from the outside. And JBL noted that Mini Miz looked a lot like Mini Masaccio.
He did say that.
Which is true. Cena met with Dolph. They were very sad about their fate.
God, John Cena, what a...
He's the worst leader ever.
Remember? I was just like, what a melodramatic... Oh, Dolph, I can understand if you just don't want to be on the team.
Remember when you had your little acting bug for a while?
Sure.
You made a bunch of student films. And in one of those films...
Actually, I made a low-budget film recently. I got paid.
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, Mark.
Oh, yeah, you worked with Mark. That's right.
Yeah.
You made a movie. It was not Mark. And through no fault of your own, you were the... Theoretically, you're the protagonist in this film, and your character was the worst hero ever.
Are you talking about the martial arts one?
Yeah. We're like,
you loved that movie.
I enjoyed the movie, but your specific character is like just an awful, awful hero. Complete failure at everything.
I did fail many times until the end.
You had to be rescued over and over again.
Yes.
Well, I have good news for you. John Cena is a worse hero than you are.
Great.
He's all sad. Oh, no. They killed Jack Swagger. Now we can't win. Taking out Jack Swagger and Zack Ryder.
Fuck. Jack Swagger was going to turn this team around for you, dude.
Yep. So they're being all sad. And Cena says, if you want to go fight with the other team, I understand. And Dolph tries to fire up and says he wants the authority out of power more than anything. And Cena says, well, if you say so. He says he wants to be in Ziggler's corner. I don't know what difference it'll make. My God, dude.
Oh, Christ.
So Hunter comes in, very jubilant, and he bans Cena from Ziggler's match. He begins to sing Another One Bites the Dust, and the crowd cheers because they're English and that's Queen.
What a great heel.
Yeah. Hey, somebody made noise for something.
This segment was a failure.
It was. Dolph Ziggler versus Mark Henry. They're brawling on the floor. And maybe it was the camera angle that made this look worse than it was, but it sure looked like Mark Henry grabbed a steel chair and then from like 5 feet away, threw it in Dolph's face as hard as he possibly could. This looked horribly violent and I screamed. So he was about to, he got DQ'd obviously, and he was about to slam Dolph onto the stairs when Big Show came out to make the save.
I gotta mention that, we always talk about how Ziggler is just, he goes so fast and he looks like he's out of control. And today it bit him in the ass. He tried to do this big jumping dive onto Mark Henry and just jumped too damn high, flipped over the guy. Mark Henry fucking sat on him. That'll teach him. And they both just fumbled around for a while. Slow down, dude!
So Big Show is too hurt to wrestle, but he flew himself to London, went to the arena, got taped up, then put a singlet on over the tape, and then went down to make the save here.
Thank God.
Yeah. Had another New Day promo, this time with Kofi Kingston, who also got a bit of a makeover.
You know, by the way, I had an idea, which now is completely out the window. But when Mark Henry destroyed Ziggler, Michael Cole is talking about how the Authority is making sure that there are no teammates left for John Cena. And I thought, all right, this pay-per-view is free. Now, normally, you've got to announce a main event. Because historically, if you don't announce who's going to be in the main event, even if it's like Brock Lesnar will defend the title against either person A or person B, you'll find out at the pay-per-view. People don't buy those shows. You've got to give them a main event. But this show is free. And so because it's free, you could have done a deal where John Cena is going to the pay-per-view and he does in fact have no partners. It is going to be a 5-on-1 Survivor Series elimination match because the Authority has killed everybody in the company that would be John Cena's friend. And so John Cena comes out and suddenly Adrian Neville, Sami Zayn, Hideo Itami, and Finn Balor all come out. And they're part of Team John Cena. And whatever happens, happens. You know, you may be eliminating some guys and that sort of thing, but they all look great. It's a great way to introduce four dudes. It is a great way to say, hey, these fuckers are on NXT every single week, which you can watch if you subscribe to the network. It's a great way to build up the network on a free show. It's not like you're losing any money. It's not like it's going to cost you any money. It's not like there's going to be any negative repercussions for debuting these guys like this on a free pay-per-view. And I'm thinking of these ideas, these potential ideas in my mind, and then Big Show came out, and that was the end of that.
So, Big Show's backstage with Dolph. Let's know, you're still good-looking, that counts for something. Cena's there, and Show agrees to be his partner, and Cena says, well, you got three of us. And Sheamus shows up, and he's number four, so they just need one more partner now.
The most anticlimactic addition of a team member. All that rigmarole earlier, and then Sheamus just comes up and goes, I'll be number four.
Yeah. AJ versus Brie Bella. Brie hit a running knee, and I use the word hit very loosely. It missed by like 2 feet right in front of the camera. Crowd wanted to cheer for CM Punk. AJ won with a Black Widow. Nikki laid out AJ from behind, stopping in the middle of the beatdown to call Brie a loser. And then she laid AJ out with a rack attack. And the announcers were so excited by this, they were bickering about the name of Batman's butler.
Bruce Wayne.
That would be Batman.
Oh. Alfred.
See, even you know.
Even I know. I was talking about it with Dave last night on the show.
I see.
There are people in the company who believe that if AJ loses the belt at Survivor Series or TLC, she's out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember that, everybody.
All right. They re-aired the exoskeleton demonstration from SmackDown. That was awesome. Henry met with Ryback backstage. Said, you don't look that big to me. Remember that time I beat you at WrestleMania? Yes, I do remember, Mark. You beat him at WrestleMania, and as a loser, he went on to challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Funny how that works.
Yeah. So he said he was just kidding and laughed it off, but Ryback was peeved. They announced that Grumpy Cat will be hosting Monday Night Raw this week.
Yes.
I hear this announcement has been met with hatred and anger and rage.
It's just dumb.
Why? And it's not even dumb. It's a better idea. Is Grumpy Cat taking valuable time away from another Usos Goldust match?
Well, I think the idea is that it is the go-home show for Survivor Series, and they should be worried about bigger things than a cat.
They have 3 hours to kill. I bet Grumpy Cat is a better than average segment on that show.
Really?
Yes, I bet it's...
I'm glad we've got that on the record.
Yes. I bet at least half of that show will be worse than Grumpy Cat. Seriously, I saw the feedback. I was like, have you guys been watching these shows? What?
Well,
how can
Grumpy
Cat make it worse?
We'll find out.
Raw is terrible. Tyson Kidd wrestled Adam Rose. They did not break up the bunny. Last week he was out there with Rose's crew. The English crowd loves Adam Rose because his song is fun to sing, and they may think he's English. I'm not sure. So Eric Rowan came out in a sheet mask. Remember I said he needed a makeover? He has a black jumpsuit now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Great.
So he scared all the rosebuds away, and I figured the bunny was doomed, but he walked on by. And he looked around, determined, she's not here, and he left through the crowd. So his gimmick is he is a horrible stalker. So I don't know if Tyson Kidd is just so great that his talent is contagious, but Adam Rose's offense looked better than ever. And then the bunny teased interfering. Rose ordered him to the floor as rudely as possible, and then Tyson won with a roll-up. So,
all the bunny's fault.
This week the bunny had it coming.
The bunny deserved to be super kicked right in the guts.
The bunny was kicked in the guts, and Rose partied with his crew and left, and the bunny was sad, and the bunny had it coming.
They are looking at potentially doing Adam Rose against the bunny for your Survivor Series pre-show.
Hmm.
Yeah. By the way, do you know what happened on SmackDown with Adam Rose and the bunny?
Did Vince come out and cut a promo on him?
No. Huh. Three guesses. I'll give you one guess. How about that instead?
Bunny pinned Adam Rose clean.
Nope. The bunny helped Adam Rose win.
Ah, he's trying to get back in his good graces.
Sure. What makes perfect sense, of course.
It's battered bunny syndrome. Let's see. Everyone met with Hunter. Said they were concerned Ryback was not a team player. Ryback arrived and said, don't talk behind my back. Hunter calmed everyone down. And then Cena buried them all as kindergartners and said they should all be fired if they lost. Really? The new boss is going to come in and just fire all five of the guys on your team?
Stephanie is just on this... I'm a fan of Stephanie, but on this show, it was just...
She did everything she could to damage every person that she could as an attraction. To hurt their brand. Is that the term they're supposed to use now? Bray Wyatt promo. He talked about Dean Ambrose. I have no idea what his point was.
The usual.
Yeah. So, main event with Cena versus Ryback. Whole authority was out there. Ryback beat him up for about 10 minutes, and then for reasons I cannot determine, Kane attacked Cena for the DQ.
Well, the idea here was that Ryback was one meat hook clothesline away from pinning John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
He had him all set up and ready to go, and right as he's about to rush, Kane DQ'd. Kane jumped in for the DQ, so he screwed it up for Ryback on purpose.
Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. All right. So Ryback... Rollins tried to make peace, but Ryback decked Rollins. Kane kicked Ryback. Everyone then moved in to kill Cena. Babyfaces ran out one at a time so the heels could kill them all. And then Ryback made his own comeback and destroyed everyone and laid out Kane with a shell shock. And he left on his own as Cena clapped. And then the big finish was backstage. Hunter and Steph were watching this pissed when Dolph's limp body came flying into the room. Luke Harper arrived and said he was a team player. Everyone stared at each other and the show ended.
There you go. There you go.
Show's so long.
It is a very long show. That is correct. Let's play a song here and move on with our lives to the shows that are highly entertaining this week. This one here is from Josh.
Hey, Granny, have you ever smoked weed?
Yeah, I'll have to admit I tried it once. I got a headache and never did it again.
What decade was that?
What was that?
What decade did that?
Oh, my.
What decade did that happen, Granny?
What was that?
What decade did that happen?
Oh, that was way, 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 way back. Probably in the 80s.
The 80s? I was alive in the 80s. You were smoking weed when I was alive?
Babysitting you all baked?
Wow.
I'm getting you weed.
Well, if I could do that, that would be it.
Smoke weed every day.
Wow.
That's excellent.
Learn something new every day, everybody. Let's do this Nitro show.
So I've never actually read the episode previews, but I couldn't help but notice that, first of all, the image was a man who I later learned was Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Decked all in black, wielding a sword. And I look over on the preview, and it says, quote, On this episode of WC Monday Nitro, armed with a sword, Hulk Hogan steps further into the darkness to challenge the Dungeon of Doom. What the fuck?
Oh, little did you know, my man.
Then, so yes, the show starts and the announcers introduce things and they go to a pre-taped Hulk Hogan promo. So what they did was, this was in November, so all the Halloween stuff was probably on sale at the party supply store. So they went out and bought all the cheap Halloween stuff, graveyards or gravestones and swords and masks and whatever the hell else they could find. Stacked it all up, played like scary music. And Hulk Hogan's in this black mask wielding a sword cutting a promo. But he's still doing a Hulk Hogan voice, you know? It's the Hulkster through and through.
This is the wackiest thing. I think, ironically, he may have been the Count of Monte Cristo.
Possibly. I guess. I don't know. So he said Randy Savage would bring him the head of Mang on a silver platter. He did not know if he could trust Sting, because Sting had left last week's show with Lex Luger, but he vowed to find that out in the future. I was just bewildered by this.
He mentioned the lightness, which I guess is the opposite of the darkness.
I suppose. I've always thought it was just the light.
Is very, I mean, I can't even explain this. He was just all out of his mind, dressed up in a Zorro mask and like a cape, and he had a sword or something. I had no idea what was going on. Like, I had no idea what was happening.
It was, and it sounds, I'm sure this is on WrestleCrap somewhere. And the thing is, as weird and bizarre as it wasn't bad enough or weird enough or bizarre enough to be funny. It was just weird.
Yeah, you got to go back, everybody, and watch this to fully... I can't do it justice. I can't even begin to explain what happened. It was just the craziest thing.
Yeah.
And then Bobby Heenan, after seeing this, predicted Hogan would be the first man eliminated in the World War III triple ring 60-man battle royal.
Who's going to eliminate the guy with the sword?
It's a very unlikely prediction.
Yeah. Randy Savage versus Meng. Savage came out through the crowd to attack Meng from behind. Most of the match was just Meng chopping Savage in the corner. And finally, Savage was able to bonk Mang into Jimmy Hart, and he hit the big elbow for the win. And the rest of the crew ran out and attacked Savage, and Luger appeared and started wrapping his arm around the post.
I loved when Sullivan's coming out with Mang at the beginning of the match, and Sullivan is ranting into the camera. And what is he saying? He's talking about how the World War III pay-per-view is going to be the biggest event of all time. Bigger, he says, than the Super Bowl. He was wrong.
Yeah.
Typical Savage match.
It was nothing.
He sold and sold and sold and then got the quick elbow and pin. It's funny with Savage. Like, I watched him during this match and I just thought, you know, I would have loved to have had a match with Randy Savage.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, aside from the elbow, in his later years, his hips were going bad. And so he would just drop all of his weight on you with his elbow and virtually kill you. But in this period, he just looked. I mean, he looked great, he worked great, but he looked like he was just light as a feather. And Meng looked great. I mean, this looked like just the easiest match with these two guys. And it was funny because this was 1995. This was almost 1996. This was November 1995. And the difference in Randy Savage between early 1996 and 1999, 3 short years, startling. And it all changed when he decided, I've got to get as big and as muscular as possible. And I think that some older guys figure that that's a way to make you feel young again. And maybe it does, but god damn does it accelerate your aging. He just looked like a completely different person in 1999. It was crazy how young he looked here in 1996 compared to 3 years later. So there you go. And by the way, when he got his arm destroyed, Luger destroyed his arm, which was not taped, although it was taped the week prior, and it really was injured.
Oh. Well, there you go.
And I like Luger's pinstripe Zubaz.
I haven't thought about this in like 15 years. I have a cousin who worked at a shoe store in Atlanta, and Luger came in with his kids one day. He was wearing like Zubaz and a polo shirt and a big gold medallion.
That sounds like Luger.
I thought about that. Seriously, it's been 20 years.
He may have been wearing that when he came to the building here.
He might have.
He just took off the medallion.
Kintsuke Sasaki versus Chris Benoit.
What a weird match.
Yes, it was. They only had about 2 minutes, so they went a million miles an hour. So they're doing this, and they're talking about Kintsugi Sasaki is getting a U.S. Championship title match later this very same week. And I swear to God, before they were done saying that sentence, Benoit hits two Germans and a dragon suplex and pins him.
Well, you know.
And then as he's on his way out, Bischoff says, oh yeah, Chris Benoit, the newest member of the Four Horsemen. This was not the best Nitro I ever saw.
We may have missed some information here and there.
Yes. That seems relevant.
Yeah, they botched a spot early, but they covered it up by getting into a fight.
Yes.
Which is a great way to cover up for a botched spot.
You know how we've talked about the Benoit thing a lot, but it's hard to compliment him. But the very first, like the first time I went back and tried to see if I was able to watch a Benoit match, I was, you know, YouTube surfing in the pre-network days, and I saw Chris Benoit versus Sting from Nitro. I thought, oh, what the hell? Let's see if I can watch this now. And the best part of it was actually a screw-up. Benoit goes to whip Sting on the ropes, and Sting does not hear the spot, and so he holds on. And Benoit doesn't miss a beat. It just looks like Sting is, you know, fighting back and making a comeback. So Sting just hits, or Benoit hits three kicks to the gut, calls the spot again, and then they go do it.
Yeah.
Like the screw-up, Benoit's screw-ups were better than most guys' matches.
That is, in fact, correct.
Yeah.
The idea, by the way, of rolling Germans into a dragon suplex as a finisher is crazy. Like a finisher that you've got to do against men of all sizes every match.
Yes.
Use a super kick, everybody.
Sleepers.
Make life easy
for yourself.
Sleepers are good. Yeah.
Let's see. Johnny B. Badd versus Eddie Guerrero. I thought this was awesome.
Yeah, let me mention something before you say that.
All right.
Hulk Hogan lately, he's been doing a lot of interviews, and he talks about his bad back and how he, if he could, he would not change anything about his career except for one thing. He would stop doing the leg drop.
Ah, the leg drop.
He goes, my gimmick was that I had the largest arms in the world. Why didn't I just use a sleeper hold? And I thought about it, and it's like, well, you know, he's right, but like, can you imagine Hulk Hogan back in the day where his Hulk up ended with a sleeper?
He could have done the X Bomber.
Sure.
That would have been a good finish.
I don't know why he didn't just use the leg drop. What'd you have to finish it up? Or I'm sorry, the big boot.
Oh, there.
What do you have to finish it up with the leg drop for? Just big boot him and pin him.
I don't know.
How's that any worse than an FU?
I don't know.
Or dropping a bent leg on somebody's chest.
I don't know.
Anyway.
So, Johnny B. Badd versus Eddie Guerrero. Like I say, I thought this match was awesome. So they're doing the... Johnny's the TV champion. And they're doing a time limit draw. So the first, like, 5 minutes... is similar to a primitive version of what a Ring of Honor match would be now. Lots of action, lots of lucha. It's all very, very clean wrestling. And after about 5 minutes of this, they're getting a little more tired. They're they're letting their guard down. And Badd gets Eddie a little off balance. And then Johnny B. Badd, the former Golden Gloves boxer, goes back to his roots and he starts throwing punches. And Eddie ducks one, but then Badd hits a combo to the jaw. Eddie drops like he's been killed. The ref steps in and says, no, no, closed fist punches. That's illegal. And he pushes Johnny B. Badd to the corner. And Johnny waits, and ref goes to make sure Eddie's okay. And Eddie recovers a bit. And then this, frankly, is what will become Latino Heat. He fires up, and he and Johnny have a giant brawl. And they're rolling on the floor. They're going back and forth on top, punching each other. And after a long time, the referee is able to separate them. And then after they've had their brawl, they've gotten their emotions worked out, they go back to wrestling. And it's a little, their facial expressions now, they're a little more angry, but they are following the rules. They're having a competitive, athletic encounter. And went back and forth for a while, and eventually they did the time limit draw, and they were still pissed off. And a few minutes went by, and Eddie cooled down, and he raised Johnny's hand. But I thought this was just great. I thought it told a great, very simple story, but everything they did made sense.
I was just amazed at the people, how much they loved Johnny B. Badd. They went crazy for him. It was funny, in 2014, looking back, and the people are going crazy for Johnny B. Badd, and they don't give a shit about Eddie Guerrero.
Well, yeah. When you put it that way, yes.
The only thing I didn't like about it was they announced the two-minute mark, and it killed the finish.
Yeah.
And it was actually only a nine-minute match. They lied about the 10-minute time limit. And that was also funny because The idea in 2014 of a TV match with a 10-minute time limit, there would be like three draws every Monday.
Yeah. Well, that in that era, yes.
This era.
There are not three 10-minute matches on Raw.
Oh, come on.
Well, like, you know what? Let me think.
The tag matches always go 12 minutes.
Go back. Yeah, they were,
main events are always more than 10 minutes.
You're right. Let's see. They announced that Hulk Hogan was calling out Sting for next week. They didn't show Hogan doing this. They just said it was happening.
Yeah. What was the story with Saturday night's main event? In the sense that they did the preview, and was it supposed to be wrestling on a spaceship or a flying saucer?
You mean this the Saturday Night Show?
There's all this mechanical rigmarole.
That was their set. I don't know why it was their set. Maybe just because they were on Universal Studios and they had a spare part laying around to make it.
The guys like were beamed up, like in Star Trek, whenever their graphic appeared on the screen.
Well, even in the actual show, it's the great big sliding door and steam everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know what it was supposed to be.
Airlock. I don't know.
It's crazy.
Gene Okerlund interviewed Hart, Sullivan, and the Giant. Sullivan said he had been thinking of ways to end Hulk Hogan for 10 years. In WrestleMania 1, Kevin Sullivan was somewhere in Florida saying, "How can I put a stop to this man?"
That's right. Yeah, he'd been thinking about it for a long time.
Yes. And Giant vowed to end Hulkamania at World War III, win the Battle Royal, and be world champion forever. And he did none of these things.
Fortunately not. You know, I was brought back to my childhood during Sullivan's promo, where he just spent a lot of time talking about how this is the World Heavyweight Championship. It's the most important thing in this business. It's all anybody wants is this belt. And I just felt like a little kid again, because that's what I grew up with.
Yeah,
I grew up where the belt was the fucking thing that you wanted to have. And it's interesting, too, because when I was a kid, you couldn't just go get a belt. When I started the Youth Wrestling Federation in 92, holy Christ, to get a belt? I had to go down to Mr. T's Trophies and have him make a bunch of brass plates. And then I had to go to a saddle maker. I'm not making this up. I went to a place by the, it was in, where's the Evergreen State Fair?
Monroe.
I had to go all the way to Monroe to a saddle maker who cut the leather. And then they attached these brass plates that I got at Mr. T's trophy store. That's how you had to make a belt. The closest thing was you could maybe get like a kind of a metal and plastic and pleather belt through like Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine. But like if you wanted a belt when I was a kid, you had to win a belt. You couldn't just go to Wildcat Belts and buy it. You had to win it. They didn't sell it at the merchandise stand unless it was just like a cheap plastic replica. When I was a kid, like, man, the idea of winning a belt. And this belt was the most important thing in the world. The only way you'd ever get it is to become a wrestler and win it. Nowadays, it's just bullshit.
It's one more thing you have to get in your luggage.
Yeah. Sad.
Everything about wrestling today is sad. Main event was Sting versus Dean Malenko. So the whole point of this was we're going to have Sting go over in the end, but up to that point, we're going to do everything we can to make Dean Malenko look awesome. That was their idea. Nobody alerted Steve McMichael. They're having this match, and Michael is going off about how Malenko posed no threat to Sting because he is small.
Oh, God, this idiot.
And Bischoff says, well, because starts talking about watching Dan Gable whip men's asses bigger than him. And then right before they go to commercial, Bob Mongo says, you know, sometimes my football team lost games, but we never whine like these wrestlers do. What in the hell?
He's an idiot.
Why did they hire him, and why did it take him so long? Actually, he was never fired. They took him off the mic and put him in the ring.
Because he was Steve McMichael, dude.
Is he that close friends with Bischoff?
He was Steve McMichael. He was Mongo of the Chicago Bears. You gotta put him on commentary.
It was 10 years before Nitro started.
The funniest thing is just watching a pro wrestling announcer, I mean, Bischoff, putting over small men. He goes, yeah, I saw Dan Gable eat these big men for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And Mongo's trying to kill the gimmick. I was just like, you idiot.
So they come back from break, and during the commercial, obviously they smartened Mongo up. He's going out of his way to talk about how Malenko has proven him wrong. And he's... So anyway, eventually Malenko takes most of the match, but he goes for a cloverleaf, and Sting reverses it to a cradle for the win, and that was that.
When this match started, I was like, What? Sting versus Dean Malenko? What a weird match. And then they went in there and they had a hell of a match.
Yes,
Dean even gave him this sweet German suplex, dropped him right on his shoulders, like a high-level German.
Yes.
I was like, man, this is a good match. And then Malenko's pissed afterwards because he got out-wrestled by Sting.
Yeah, he was defeated, and it mattered to him.
Mattered to me, too, back then.
Everything mattered. I'm sad now.
Well, not everything.
Hulk Hogan with a sword mattered, damn it.
No, it didn't.
So Oakland closes the show by interviewing Sting in the ring. He brings up Hogan's challenge.
Now, keep in mind, by the way, as I mentioned last week, this was taped before last week's show, which is why fans were completely baffled and quiet when Gene is talking about how Sting walked out on Hogan, which, of course, had not happened. And the fans who stuck around saw it happen an hour later.
I see.
Yeah.
I've forgotten about that. So, Sting says he did not know what Hogan's problem was. He didn't want to fight, but he had let it slide when Hogan had called him a little dog waiting in the porch. In fact, he was the big dog around these parts. He had a long list of men he had beaten. He was not running away from this fight, and he was ready to fight Hogan next week. And the announcers killed time for a while, and that was that.
Yahoo!
It was Nitro.
I did like at the end, Gene threw it back to the announcers, and he made sure to mention that Heenan was a con man. Gene was great. He just said whatever the hell he wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Nitro, everybody. It was fine. There was some good stuff on the show. It is not as novel as it was 11 episodes ago. But we're not going to give up.
Still better than Raw.
We're going to keep going for a while. It's a real-life Monday Night War because we're the Nitro episodes are lead. They're exactly 19 years ago.
Yeah.
Same week. This was the week of November 11th. This Nitro, and next week we'll watch the week of November 18th. And we're comparing it to Raw yet again. Just compare the ratings while we're at it. See which show's doing the better rating. All right, let's play a song here. And then we shall do British Boot Camp.
Play a song here before we finish up. What do we got?
From the juice.
No!
It's very simple, Vinny. I want to get that money. Grand Theft Auto, with large-breasted honeys kicking folks in the nuts. Like a new jack running, built for homicide. Yeah, Chael Sonnen we'll see on the streets. Opening fire. I'll kill ya. It's a thrill to be shot at. We don't think you're any tougher because you do stupid shit. Dreaded
mist of the Northwest. Beautiful Bothell, Washington.
Got accepted for what it is. We ain't gonna let no East Coast motherfuckers, nor no motherfucking shit-kicking, boot cowboy-wearing motherfucking South fools come here and take this money from us, man. I've been hopeless for years. I don't care. Since day one.
That, everyone, is an example of bad comedy.
There you go.
Okay, then.
Ah, the old days of the, what the hell was it?
Urban Wrestling.
Urban Wrestling, that's right. How could I forget? How could I forget? I can't. I'll never
remember?
Forget it. I won't remember details, but
no.
I'll never forget Urban Wrestling.
You'll remember it. You don't remember anything specific. Well, we watched British Boot Camp 2, Episode 3.
Yes. This was apparently one of the better episodes.
So, the idea was everyone would get a chance to appear before the judges, who was Al Snow, Gail Kim, and Samoa Joe. They would have a chance to cut a promo, and the guys who cut the best promos would then be moving on to the next round, which is physical activity.
It's very much like American Idol.
With violence.
With violence and...
And Al Snow.
And I got some stuff to say about Al Snow.
So the first guy, actually by the end of this, was far and away the most impressive.
Oh, Dave Mastiff? Holy shit.
Yeah.
This guy was great.
Dave Mastiff, whose nickname is The Bastard. It's right there.
The Bastard is coming is his catchphrase.
Yes. Dave is a big, not lean, but scary looking, bearded man.
Kind of looked a little like Sonny.
At his peak.
Yeah.
Sonny now is much leaner.
Yes.
But he's wasn't nearly as big as like Vader, but he is a big fat guy who looked like he would beat the holy fuck out of you.
Yes.
With a big scraggly beard, which works for him.
Moved great.
Yeah.
Very flexible.
His goal, he said, was to prove that heavyweights could move. And they asked...
Well, he may as well quit then, because he fucking proved it.
I guess so.
What more is there to do?
I suppose so. They asked him to show what he could do, and he started doing lucha rolls and kip-ups, and yeah, this fucker could move. So, Al challenged him to do 20 burpees and then cut a promo on Joe. He did, and Al is giggling to himself about, ah, ha, 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 he's getting blown up. And yeah, he was breathing hard. Yeah, he was sweaty, but Jesus Christ, he got a hell of a promo.
Yeah, he did.
I wanted to see this guy fight Joe. This is actually quite awesome. So needless to say, he moved on to the next round.
We were 3 minutes into this show, and I could not understand how Dave Mastiff was essentially unemployed.
Basically.
How is he not in TNA? How is he not in Ring of Honor? How is he not in New Japan? How is he not in WWE? It's baffling.
Yeah. It was, to be fair, all downhill from there.
Maybe one day Vince said, don't hire that bastard, and so poor Dave Mastiff has been on the no-call list ever since.
It's possible. It's possible. The next guys were a very even fatter tag team called the Unnatural Disasters.
Oh, my God.
The bald one in particular. So they come in, and they're living their gimmick.
I guess.
They hit the ring, and they're snarling, and they're snorting. And the judges are just staring at them. Al, in particular, just staring mouth agape as these men begin to roar about what shows they had been on. He just had no idea how to react. And finally, he asked them to please tone it down so they could speak for a while. And they're talking about how it's more expensive to book a tag team. And if only one of you can move forward, who's it going to be? Meanwhile, the fattest one is out of breath and has to lean on the ropes. They haven't even done anything yet.
Yeah.
So Al says he's concerned about this. And eventually they started to get belligerent and they got cut for their attitude as much as anything.
Yeah, well, he asked which one would stay and which one would go. Mm-hmm. And their crazed, loud, raging response was, it's both of us or none of us.
I see.
And so Al gave them a compliment sandwich, but essentially said, you're too fat.
Yeah.
And they were baffled. Even though they had mentioned, we are an 800-pound tag team. So... they go backstage afterwards, and they're interviewed, and they're talking to Spud, and they looked maybe 6 inches taller than Spud.
Yes.
Maybe less. And they're over 400 pounds each.
I would buy it'd be like 350 and 500, because that big guy was big.
And they just kept screaming, disasters!
Yes.
Everyone's just looking at him like they are completely out of their minds. Which they were.
They were, in fact, yeah. Up next was the Owens twins, 25-year-old twin sisters from Belfast. They said they were all punk rock and tattooed and dubbed themselves the Anti-Blossom twins.
You forgot Martin Stone.
I did overlook Martin Stone, my bad. In fact, I overlooked a couple of stuff here. That was the promo with... the promo with Spud went way too long.
Yeah.
Talked about going to get pizza and stuff. So then, Martin Stone... he said he had been in developmental. I'm like, with who?
I'm like, what do you mean with who, you idiots?
It's either TNA, in which case you would know Al, or the only other company with a developmental program. So he says, World Wrestling Entertainment. And he talked about how he never got a shot, and they gave him the we have nothing for you speech, and he was gone. He was a little cranky about it.
I try to figure out what happened to this guy, Creative has nothing for anybody in developmental.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why you're in developmental.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to see if there was a story as to why he was released, but I never really heard, so I don't know what happened, but he was there until recently.
Yeah. So he got a promo on Joe about fighting Joe and how he had fought Joe in the past and lost to him, and that aided him for years, and he needed a rematch, and judges loved him, and he passed on to the next round.
I was just amazed that Samoa Joe was wearing the same t-shirt I was wearing when I watched the show. GracieAcademy.com, everybody.
I thought that was.
Yeah.
So, the Owens twins. As I said, 25-year-old twin girls from Belfast.
Another set of twins here on this show.
Yep. They were the Anti-Blossom twins because the Blossom twins were blonde and wearing pink and very girly, and these girls were more punk rock. So, they came out and they had a wacky, wacky, rehearsed, choreographed intro speech. If you've ever watched Shark Tank, when the people come out with their product to sell and they do their little sales pitches, that's what this reminded me of. And, then Gail asked, you know, we had twins once and one of them quit and so we lost them both, wasted all our time. Is that going to happen with you guys? And Al asked them if, you know, if only one of you can go, who would it be? And and they're sad about having to break up, and they start to cry, and much to my surprise, they passed.
Well, the key was one of them volunteered to let the other one go.
Yeah.
And I guess that was enough for Al. This was complete horseshit that he let them both move on, but he would not let the unnatural disasters move on. I mean, come on. So unfair.
We had an Indian fella named RJ Singh, whose promo was that wrestling needs more Asians. Gail agreed, although she's letting him know the Asian sensation name was not going to fly.
This guy just seemed like a generic nice guy. And once again, they let him pass. And meanwhile, they cut the unnatural disasters. Bullshit.
I would have liked to have seen the unnatural disasters doing physical stuff.
Me too.
I don't think they would have passed after that.
I mean, nothing against RJ Singh. But when you look at this guy, and they got 16 guys, I believe, is RJ Singh really going to win? Of course not. I'm sure he's a nice guy. He may be a good wrestler. He ain't winning. So why did he move on and the unnatural disasters were cut? Ridiculous. And speaking of...
Yeah, the montage of rejects.
Wrestling Jesus.
The wrestling Jesus was out there.
How did they cut him? I haven't seen the show yet.
They cut the Lord.
Yeah, how did they cut God? Yeah, they cut Jesus. Impossible.
This is where Gail had her line. I can't hear you. It's annoying me.
He should be on every show, and the wrestlers always come out and thank him after they win.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
That is brilliant. So, one guy called himself Richard Parliament.
Yes.
His goal was to be America's first prime minister. He cuts a promo on fat Americans, and they said, could you remove your jacket, please?
I love when he said there's too many fat asses in America, and Joe said, yeah, I hate that.
So they ask him to remove his jacket, and he is the skinny, fattest guy you ever saw.
Oh, yeah.
So the judges were very, very conflicted. They could not deny he was entertaining. Weren't sure quite how high his ceiling was.
It's low.
But against their better judgment, they passed it.
It was mostly Al. Like, Joe and Gail were just howling at this guy.
Yeah.
And they're trying to convince Al, because I guess he gets the final vote, and he hangs his head. And eventually just says, fine, you're moving on.
Yes.
He looked like an Irish mustachioed Chris Rizik.
What?
Kinda.
Who?
This guy, Richard Parliament. I mean, Rizik's got a much better physique.
Yes.
But the gimmick. It was like a...
I guess.
Mustached Irish Chris Rizik.
Okay.
He's funny.
Next audition... was a fellow named Joel Redman, who had quite the case of gyno.
Now I was starting to get mad. This guy was boring.
Mm-hmm.
He was told to cut a promo. It was boring. He was told to fire up. It was only slightly better. And he legit got moved on solely because of his body.
Yeah.
Which fucked over the unnatural disasters even more. I mean, it's beyond preposterous at this point. He was a lumberjacked. His jacked up lumberjack.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I like that. Shaw Samuel... was a legit butcher who dealt with blood and guts every day.
This guy was great.
He too was awesome. Cut promos about carrying sides of beef and sheep over his shoulders. Said he had dealt with things, what did he say, bigger and messier than Joe?
When which Al said, there ain't much in this world bigger and messier than Joe.
Yes. So, yeah, Shaw Samuel was awesome, and he passed right away.
See, I don't know. I don't watch enough of the NXT promos, like their practice promos and that sort of thing. But these Euros can cut some good promos.
A lot of them, these guys were.
I was very impressed.
I'm sure the bad ones were really, really bad. But yeah. Went back to Scotland, where a guy named Grado had, like, I guess he'd passed the promo part, but then been late for the physical stuff. And so Al Snow flew into a terrible, terrible rage and cut him immediately. Cursed him out, kicked him out, wanted to never see him again.
Vinny, you think I get on you when you're late? Al threatened to physically beat the shit out of him because he was late.
Mm-hmm. So then the same guy showed up in Manchester, and that went badly, and Al buried him there and threatened to kick his ass again there. And then here he was again in London, and he asked Spud to put in a good word for him, and Spud didn't want to at first, but he finally relented. And Spud tried to put in a good word, and Al was pissed and furious and didn't want to see him again. And Gale went to kind of gently read the guy the riot act, if that makes any sense, but let him know he had fucked up, but she was willing to give him one more try if she could talk Al into it. So everyone wants to give this guy another try except Al. And Al finally just yields to pressure and gives him another try. So he comes out, and it's time for everyone to get physical. So it's like eight guys and the two girls.
Well, let me mention, by the way, as far as Grado goes, this was very staged.
Yes.
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the storyline is, but I do know that this Grado guy is apparently massively over in the UK.
All right.
Over enough that, like, during Raw, there were people chanting for Grado. And apparently they had a show in Glasgow that sold, like, over 2,000 tickets. And it was because of him.
Okay.
In fact, when they chanted ICW during the show, he was there for that ICW show. So he's like a big cult hero type guy over there.
All right.
And I don't know what is going on, but it appears they're doing something with him and Al.
Yeah. So we'll get to that. First of all, they had the twin girls, and they were the only girls at this point, so they were working with each other. They had no idea what the hell they were doing.
Oh, my God. I was so pissed off here. The unnatural disasters get cut.
Yes.
And they got these two girls in here where it's one thing to, like, need some work, but Al is... And first off, this was a massive expose, as if it mattered. Al calling spots like you almost never see anywhere. Flat out going, all right, tackle, drop down, hip toss. Which, by the way, is about day one in wrestling school, tackle, drop down, hip toss. And these twins absolutely had no idea what they were doing. They screwed up tackle, drop down, hip toss repeatedly.
Over and over and over
again. Oh my God, over and over and over again. And
long past the point where it was fun to watch people wrestling badly. We get it. They suck.
Sad.
So that finished. Then the guys took turns working with each other, which for some reason, the eight guys got less screen time than the two girls.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Oh, God, what was his name? Dave Mastiff?
Yes.
In the highlights of him working out there? This guy's awesome.
This guy needs to win.
Yes. At life. This guy is fantastic. Other guys look various degrees of good, but Dave Mastiff is the man. And then the last two guys to go are Shaw Samuel the Butcher and Grado.
Yeah.
And Al calls Shaw over and whispers in his ear.
This is so campy.
This is bad. So Shaw starts slapping Grado. He gets a couple of hard slaps to the face.
I think Al was supposed to have told him to shoot on this guy.
That is the idea, yes. The idea was that Shaw Samuel was shooting on Grado, and the cameras captured it. It was, of course, bullshit.
Using nothing but pro wrestling holds.
He hit, like, two stiff slaps and then just the usual forearms and elbows you see in every other match ever. So, So he beat him up for a while, and he throws them outside the ring. They're outside the ring brawling here in this audition thing. And the ref starts to count. And he gets to nine. And suddenly Grado fires up. He returns to the ring. Makes his big comeback. And, like, gets the win.
Yeah.
What the fuck was this?
I don't know what this was. This didn't work.
No. Be like if you... I don't even know. I'm trying to think of the
he was shooting on him with pro wrestling flips.
I'm trying to think. Yes. I'm trying to think of the equivalent of like a magician show. Be like if you're doing a whole hour long TV show of how to do magic tricks, and then in the end a guy actually disappeared or a woman was actually sawed in half or something.
Do you remember how long ago was this? This was probably almost 20 years ago. You had to go on news groups. And there was Rec Sport Pro Wrestling.
Ah, yes.
And there was I don't know what they were called back then. Maybe Threads? I don't even remember. It was so long ago. But it started there. Have you ever used a pro wrestling move in a real fight?
Uh-huh.
And goddamn did this get funny after a while. And that's exactly what apparently was supposed to be happening here. They got in a real fight and used cannonballs into the corner and brawling outside, and countouts. Have you ever been counted out in a real fight, Vinny? Because I haven't.
I can't say that I have.
No. But yeah, this was very, very wacky. So then they go, and they have to decide who passes to go to London for the finals.
Yeah.
And Al has the ladies step to the side. And he tells all the dudes, we have no upper limit and we have no lower limit. So you all move on. And so they all leave the ring and he gets to the girls and he says, I asked you before, if only one of you can move on, which would it be? But you don't have to make a decision because you're both moving on.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
These girls have no hope.
Were you watching them?
There was not 1 second verbally, body language, facial expressions, or action. There was not 1 second where I thought these women have a prayer of winning this.
No.
They suck in every way.
Well, after they got through not figuring out how to do a tackle drop down hip toss
for
or whatever.
Hours.
Sure. They did show a little bit of footage of the two working together and it was fine. But still, the point remains, it's exceedingly unlikely, unless this entire thing is fixed, that they're winning. So I don't know, maybe they just need two more girls for the show.
Maybe that's it.
That's
maybe,
all I can
figure
out.
Maybe this was, in fact, the best women they could find, which is a horrifying thought.
Now, I will say, at the end of the show, first off, I got to throw out a shout-out to my boy Spud. He was great on this show, as always. And they announced a card for the big show. And I didn't write down the whole card, but they are doing a Butcher versus Grado rematch.
Yes.
It's going from a shoot to a work. It's like Pancras. Or whichever, Rings, I think it was. But
you just compared Grado to Rings.
Yes. And they've also got Dave Mastiff against a man called Rampage Brown.
That's great names.
I'd pay fucking money for that match. I don't even know who Rampage Brown is.
Doesn't matter.
But based on his name and the fact that he's facing Dave Mastiff, this is going to be great.
So afterwards, after this, all this physical activity, Spud's interviewing Grado, and Grado is a shell of a man at this point. Grado, I don't know if we described Grado physically. This dude better be funny.
He is funny.
Because he
came out, and the first thing he said is, I'm one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Yes.
And Al just began, he burst into laughter. You are?
In the world?
What?
So
he said it with such conviction. Like, he said it like it was a fact.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not even like a heel promo. It was just a fact that, did you know, Vinny, Grado is one of the best wrestlers in the world.
He explained it, you would say, like, I am carrying $22 in my wallet right now.
Yes.
And I am one of the best wrestlers in the world. So he's talking here to Spud about how he's going to have to overcome his weaknesses. And his weaknesses, as he explained, he is in horrible cardiovascular condition.
Yeah.
That's a weakness.
It is bad news. It is in this business, yes.
Unless you are giant haystacks, that's bad news. So that was the show. It was fine. I want to see Dave Mastiff again.
I did like Dave. And I really want to watch those episodes to see I want to see Jesus. Like, how do you keep these two women? I hate to keep harping
on British boot camp.
I can't keep harping on the Irish Owens twins. But how did they move on and Jesus got cut? That's not possible.
Maybe they asked him to turn water into wine and he couldn't get it done.
Maybe they found out he was an imposter.
He lied.
Yeah.
Like the boogeyman.
Maybe his name was Jesus Christ, and he was trying to pass himself off as the Lord and Savior.
That's possible. That's possible.
Anyway, yeah, this was fun. So that's British Boot Camp, everybody, and there's more to come. So I don't know where you can see British Boot Camp, to be perfectly honest with you. I found it, but the rest of you, I don't know what to tell you. If you're in the UK, I'm sure you know where to watch it. You're probably already watching it. If you're in the US, I think they're coming to the US or something. I'm not entirely sure what's going on. I'll try and give everybody an update over the next couple of days, but that was British Boot Camp Season 2, Episode 3. And now all we can hope for is that someday we'll see the return of the World of Hurt. That and urban wrestling, and my life will be complete.
Wrestling Society X.
Vinny is such a fan of Wrestling Society X.
I just thinking about that show today, looking at it on my bookshelf, like, I should watch that again sometime.
Ah, well, maybe someday we will. All right, let's play a quick song, and away we go.
Just about everybody else's.
Flair's on the network right now, cutting a promo.
With a golden spoon in my mouth.
times. The world's just four times. Bright lights, four times. Pretty lady, five times.
God damn. That made me want to just completely throw this show out the window and just turn it into the Brian and Vinny Retro Hour.
Well, that's because wrestling used to be fun and now it sucks.
The only problem is you'd still have to watch the current shows for the newsletter. Well, figure it out, everybody. Ric Flair was awesome. Did you know that, everybody, that Ric Flair was great? Watching him right now on the network.
Yep.
God damn, this guy was great.
He was the best for a long time.
Anyway. All right, everybody, we are going to wrap it up. By the way, I just want to throw out a quick plug. I have a new stream, the After Dark Radio Show stream, every single evening at 11 o'clock Pacific, 2 a.m. Eastern. A brand new classic show will be airing on the After Dark Radio Show stream. Probably too late tonight, but the one going up tonight is the debut on the Dark Matter Radio Network from 1 year ago, almost to the day. So that's going to be airing on the stream tonight. And every night there's going to be a new one. So if you're new, I got an email the other day from somebody who just discovered After Dark Radio. If you're new to it, if you love the show, if you just want something to listen to every evening, it is available either at AfterDarkRadioShow.com. You can stream it there. Or if you have TuneIn Radio, you can search After Dark Radio Show and favorite the stream. And you can listen to it from wherever you are, anywhere in the world. TuneIn Radio has apps on the iPhone, the Android, virtually every single tablet, every smartphone, a lot of the smart TVs. If you've got Apple TV, you can AirPlay to the television and listen to it there. But once again, a new classic show will be streaming every single night at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 o'clock p.m. Pacific. So head up there and favorite it on TuneIn Radio. And there may be more fun to come with that stream as the days go by. So head up there and support it. It is absolutely free, so go up there and check it out. Anyway, we are out of here, everybody. We did a bunch of shows today. We've got a bunch of other shows coming up, so check it out. Get well, Craig, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.